So we're continuing our series in the Gospel according to Matthew, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and we've been bearing down on this idea that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, God's presence breaking into the world in a new and powerful ways. He's always been present. He's always at work, but with the coming of the Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the kingdom has come in a new and powerful way. It offers us a new way to live. And if you go back, at the beginning of Matthew, we get introduced to the coming kingdom, where John the Baptist and Jesus, they say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawn near. And Jesus gives this great teaching about what life is like in the kingdom in chapters 5 through 7. Then chapters 8 through 10, we learn about the works of the king and the kingdom. The king and the kingdom, they're related, of course. They can't be separated. Jesus is the one who brings the kingdom, and he brings with him mighty works, miracles. And it's not really as much about the miracles as it is about the presence, the power, and the authority of the Son of God. And he's doing all these things for people simply because God loves them. And then we get to chapter 11, and we're into chapter 12 now. And really what we're seeing, it's like the character of the kingdom. It's the nature of the kingdom. It began in chapter 11 with John the Baptist asking Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for somebody else? And that's because even John the Baptist, who knew who Jesus was, it was like, I didn't think you were going to work this way. That's what it, I didn't think you were going to work this way. And Jesus says, just keep your eye on me. And then we ended last week with this call of the king of the kingdom, Jesus Christ, in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, where Jesus himself calls out to the crowds, and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. And he says, I will give you rest. And then we get to chapter 12, and when I read this passage, on the surface, it may not sound like this has anything to do with rest. But actually, the idea of the Sabbath that we're going to talk about, the Lord's Day, we'll get to all that. The Sabbath and Christ and rest, they're all connected. You know, and I was thinking about this as we were singing. There's a lot of hard, I guess there are a lot of hard things in what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a part of a church. I mean, we talk all the time. Well, we don't talk all the time, but you go to Sunday school and we try to explain how Jesus Christ can be fully God and fully man. How does that work? We talk about the Trinity. How does that work? So there are a lot of difficult, interesting things in God's Word and thinking about what it means to be a Christian. But you know what I think is the hardest thing? It's a little dangerous because it's off the top of my head, but I think the hardest thing for everybody, I don't care if you're a longtime Christian, if you're a new Christian, if you're a young Christian, if you're even doubting Christianity, I think the hardest thing is really believing that when we read Jesus saying to us, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is really hard sometimes to believe that Jesus Christ is present, that he's here, that he cares for you and me. I mean, we don't see him. But that's why we've gathered, because we believe that Jesus Christ is alive, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and that Jesus Christ is the power of the Holy Spirit. When we read the Word became flesh, he dwelt among us, we believe that Jesus Christ is here. So when you go home this afternoon, when you go to work, If you're a Christian, you believe that Jesus Christ is with you. He's with you. He loves you. He cares for you. And he gives us all sorts of things to help us know him. Because even as Matt said, this is all about knowing God. And we only know the invisible God through the person of Jesus Christ. And we know it now by faith. And one day we will see face to face. But until that time, I think the hardest thing for us to remember is that Jesus Christ is present with us. Let me read Matthew 12, verses 1 through 14. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. If you don't, it's printed for you in your bulletins. This is God's word. At that time where Jesus just finished calling out to the people, come to me. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? And have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you'd known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He went on from there. He entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, which one of you has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out, conspired against him how to destroy Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ this morning, the word that attests of him and to him and reminds us that he is with us. Make that real this morning for each and every one of us in this room this day. For it's in his name, for his glory, we ask. Amen. So after creation, you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. God has finished creating the world and man. You learn a little bit more about how he does it, but he's finished. And this is what Genesis 2 says. The heavens, the earth were finished on the seventh day. God finished his work that he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This God's rest. It's the Sabbath. And I don't know what you think about when you think about God resting, but he's not kicking his feet up and taking a nap. When the Bible talks about God resting, it means he's finished. It means it's complete. And the goal is accomplished. You have to notice it's eternal here. Because on the seventh day, there is no morning, there is no evening, it is forever. When God rests on the seventh day, God is revealing something about who he is and what his purpose is. The problem is Adam and Eve, they really didn't get to the rest because they didn't get to their future the way it was supposed to be because they sinned. But God doesn't give up on his people. And really what I want you to think about is as we talk about the Sabbath, as we talk about Matthew 12, I want you to think about this. All of the Old Testament is preparation for what God is going to do in Christ Jesus so that his people can enter into that rest that he has created. In a sense, you could say the whole Bible is all about how to get into God's rest. It's a future with God. It's what we were intended for since the creation. So when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, he's offering an invitation into rest, his rest. And the Sabbath day, throughout the Old Testament, it's a sign for God's people that that rest is still available. It's a sign that says, God, your creator, your redeemer, has a way for you to rest. It's why we have the fourth commandment. It's why we believe the fourth commandment is still applicable today. The fourth commandment is not there to stop us from having fun. It's a pointer for us to see how God breaks into this world in space and time. The Sabbath, this idea of rest, it's built into the very nature of the universe. God completed his work, its consummation, its bringing to perfection. It's there to remind us that God loves us, and there is a day in the future where we will experience God's rest. And Jesus saying, come to me at the end of Matthew 11 is saying, come, enter into a relationship with me. Enter into a relationship with God the Father that can only be entered into through the person of Jesus Christ. And then we have this section here where basically Jesus is explaining it to people that don't like him, the Pharisees. He goes, they're going through the grain field, Matthew 12, on a Sabbath day. His disciples are picking up some grain and they're hungry and the Pharisees are around and as usual, they're trying to look for ways to critique Jesus. So they say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on this day. And just to be real clear, they're not. They're not doing anything unlawful. According to the Pharisees, Jesus' disciples were working on the Sabbath. As they took the grain, rubbed it in their fingers, they were reaping and sowing. And that everybody knows that's not the case. They're not farmers. They're disciples of Jesus. They're following him around. They're hungry, so they need a snack. They want a snack. They're allowed to do that in their world. It's not private property in that sense. They can walk through anybody's grain field and grab a few pieces of grain. And Jesus then appeals to these Old Testament story or an Old Testament law. And he says to the Pharisees, have you not read? He says it twice. Have you not read? It's almost like Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, look, don't you know about this story way back in 1 Samuel with King David? Because he's saying the way you're thinking about the Sabbath, it doesn't seem like you understand the Bible. This is about the Sabbath. This is about the Lord's Day, but this is about something much bigger, and it's very important for us. It's how we are to look at God's Word. It's how we are to read God's Word. It's how we are to interpret God's Word. And the bottom line is the Pharisees are missing the whole point of God's Word, which they know very, very well. You see, in 1 Samuel 21, it's not about the Sabbath. It may be taking place on a Sabbath day, but 1 Samuel 21 doesn't talk about the Sabbath at all. It's more about a specific incident that happened in the life of David. And you know, David, at this time, he's the future king of Israel. He's already been described as a man after God's own heart. And he's running away from the present king, King Saul. So he goes to the priest. The priest is very surprised. And he's surprised because here's David, and David needs food, and he needs it for his men. And David concocts this story that's not exactly right. But he's hungry, he's starving, he's in need. And the priest gives him the holy bread which was given to the priests by God. It was his bread, their bread. But he sees David and he gives it to David because David needs food. He's in need. And that's the whole story. Nobody is ever critiqued. Nobody gets in trouble because of what's been done. There's no condemnation. Now look, the point of this story, and we'll get to the next one as well, but the point of this story, it is not this, because this is where we like to go. See, rules don't matter that much. That's not Jesus' point here. Rules do matter, folks. But the point is not that rules were made to be broken. The point seems to be, at least from Jesus' perspective, he's talking to the Pharisees and he's basically saying this: you guys don't understand the Word of God. And if you don't understand the Word of God, there's no way you can understand who God is. And if you don't have a relationship with God, there's no way you're going to get this Sabbath stuff right. It's all connected, because David is a big deal. The priesthood is a big deal. The holy bread is a big deal. It's not that those things are unimportant. They're just there to lead you to something bigger and better. And that's who God is. See, the second question, Jesus says, have you not read in the law how on, and he's being provocative here, okay? Jesus is being provocative with the Pharisees. Have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and they are guiltless? He's saying, hey, even your priests don't follow the Sabbath laws. And what he's saying is, God said, keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't do any work. Rest. But on the Sabbath, the priests have to work because they're working in the temple. All of which is in accord with God's law. Look, with these two questions, Jesus is bringing up two points that we need to think about this morning. We actually need to think about it every day of the week. Jesus is wanting the Pharisees to grapple with these two things at least. First of all, he wants them to understand who he is as the Messiah. He wants them to understand, ooh, I'm greater than David, guys. I'm even greater than the temple. The authority of Jesus Christ, he gets to in a minute. He says, I am Lord of the Sabbath. You need to come to grips with who I am. That's the first thing. The second thing is, he wants them to understand his priorities, God's priorities. You see, the Pharisees didn't see who Jesus was because they never came to grips with God's word. And there was a breakdown. They became totally disconnected. God's word became totally disconnected from the reason why God gave them the word in the first place. Totally disconnected from the purpose of the law. Totally disconnected from the stories in the Old Testament. The one who gave them the law, the one who gave them his word, it wasn't so that they could simply know a lot about God. It was so that they would know who God was. You see, and we Presbyterians, we might be a little more, I don't know, I think everybody's like this, but let's blame the Presbyterians because we're Presbyterians. We know our doctrine. We think we know our doctrine. Well, we know our Bibles. I know your pastors know their Bibles. That doesn't mean that we know who God is. You can read Scripture to learn about God, or you can go to His Word to meet with God. You can come to church to learn a lot about how you might want to act or not act. You can go to church so that people think you're religious, or you can go to worship to meet with God. Verse 7, Jesus says, if you knew Scripture, you would know what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. It's the second time Jesus is quoted from Hosea 6. And folks, it's not that sacrifices were bad. It's not like, oh, those sacrifices. God is the one. All Leviticus is about all the sacrifices. It's part of God's word. God was the one who told the Israelites to make sacrifices. He's the one who gave them the specific guidelines of when to make sacrifices. The problem is they're missing the purpose and the intent of the sacrifices. They're missing the purpose and the intent of the law. They're missing the purpose and the intent of God's word. You're supposed to meet with God. And Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I mean, the Son of Man, it's Jesus' favorite self-designation. It's picked up from Daniel 7. It's unique. It's universal authority. And Jesus says, I am Lord of the Sabbath. I am the purpose of the Sabbath. You can't truly, I'm what the Sabbath pointed to. You can't truly observe the Sabbath, Jesus is saying, if you don't understand who I am. See, Jesus is not saying rules don't matter. This is what we like. It's like, oh, those rules, it doesn't matter what you do on the Sabbath. We'll talk about how the Sabbath is the Lord's Day in a minute. But yes, it does matter. It does. Jesus isn't saying rules don't matter. Jesus isn't simply relaxing harsh restrictions. He's actually showing the people what it means to follow the fourth commandment. And this is really important, okay? Jesus is not saying we can safely ignore the law of God. Just all we have to do is be merciful and be compassionate. It doesn't matter what the law says. He's not even saying that ritual laws are unimportant. He is saying not only Sabbath guidelines, but every law in the Bible, every one of the Ten Commandments, all the things that Paul says that we're supposed to do, they have to be interpreted in light of who God is and what he's done in the person of Jesus Christ. Because they're all given to us so that we know God, so that we have a living relationship with the God who created us, so we better understand who we were intended to be, who we were created to be. It all is dependent on whether or not you know God the Father through Jesus Christ. I'm going to summarize this. Jesus now gives a very specific illustration of what it means to do good on the Sabbath, or to meet the purpose of the Sabbath. He goes into a synagogue. He finds a man with a hand that doesn't work. And he appeals to common sense. There's no law about this. Jesus simply assumes the Pharisees are going to lift out an animal out of a pit on the Sabbath. He presupposes that human beings are of more value than an animal because we're created in the image of God. And he, of course, with only speaking the word, he heals the man. He says, stretch out your hand, and he's restored. And the people that are standing right there still don't see Jesus for who he is. They want to kill him. They're more concerned with their own understanding, with their own ideas. The Pharisees illustrate the point that the people that are supposedly wise and understanding, they will miss the point. It's the humble. It's those who know they're in need will see Jesus for who he is. Jesus has come to me. This is where we're going now. Jesus has come to me. All you who are laboring, heavy burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, here's the point. The Sabbath is all about rest, but rest is all about Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is actually saying demands much more from us than simply keeping the rules. What Jesus demands from us is an absolute commitment to his person and a reorientation of all our lives that will help us think rightly about who we are, who he is, and what we're supposed to do. We want to talk about rules, what we can do, so we don't have to really engage what it means to have a living relationship with the Son of God. And it takes work. It takes commitment. It takes fighting against every bit of sin in your life, every bit of sinfulness in our nature, because it's a life of faith, and it doesn't seem like Jesus Christ is here, but he promises he is, and we have to believe him. We have to trust him more than anything else. That's the yoke. The yoke is to go after Jesus no matter what. And I don't know where all of you stand. I know a lot of you know Jesus. I think there are probably more people out there that think they know Jesus that do not know Jesus. But this is the God who became man who says to everybody here, particularly this morning, come to me and I will give you rest. And I know that's what everybody wants in this world. We need to be relieved of our burdens of this world, our burdens of performance, our burdens of having to prove ourselves, our burdens of having some type of meaning in life. It only comes to fruition in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Day now, I was really caught off guard on the internet how many people think we're wrong to worship on Sunday. I don't know if it's reality or not, but since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Sabbath, or before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Sabbath was on the last day of the week. That was Saturday. Since the resurrection, it's now the first day of the week. Jesus Christ was resurrected on this day that we come into the Lord's house as New Testament believers. All right? We don't have a rule. We don't have a rule that changes the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. But I do think there's something here. Before Jesus Christ comes, we end our work week with rest. After Jesus comes, we begin our work with rest. We rest today so that we can work faithfully into the future. There is a reason that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the first day. Jesus reveals himself after the resurrection on the first day of the week. The Holy Spirit descends in Acts chapter 2 on the first day of the week. In Acts 20, the New Testament church is gathering together, taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, when you gather together and you collect the tithe to send to Jerusalem on the first day of the week. So look, we're good on Sundays, okay? It's okay. But I want to leave you with three suggestions about how we are to speak and think about the Lord's Day. Because I think it's really important. Because if Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, if the Sabbath is the reason, if we're given this day so that we would know Jesus better, then it's really important what we do on the Lord's Day. It's got to be. I do think, I think sometimes you think because I'm a pastor, I want you to have the Lord's Day as special because otherwise nobody would come and listen to me. But that's not why. I was telling the Sunday school class, the reason why I became a pastor is because I believe what God says about the church in the Lord's Day. And it's not upside down there. The reason why the Lord wants us to come together on the Lord's Day is because unlike any other place in the world, this is where Jesus Christ resides. Through the power of the Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is here. In everything that we do on the Lord's Day, from the beginning of the call to worship to the end of the benediction, it's straight from what God says we are supposed to do, and we just stick to that. I know we don't do it perfect. I know some of you get bored here. I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. But the Lord says, you come gather with your people in person and give me worship and you will know that I am near. And we have to trust him. The Lord's Day is very important. And I get that from Exodus 5. I get that from, I'm sorry, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. It's about creation. It's about redemption. It's about the gospel. This is the place where you will hear the gospel. That's the first thing. The second thing, so there you go. Yeah, that's a rule. It's a rule so you know Jesus. And you do need to know. I'm just responsible to tell you the rule. I don't think twice about it afterwards. I think it's funny. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little off track. But it's so funny when people ask me what I think they ought to do in a particular place. And in certain things, like it's like, you know, where it's pretty clear in the Bible. It's not like very complicated. You know, don't look at porn. Don't drink too much. You know, go to church on Sunday. It's like they ask me that, like, and then I tell them, and then they get mad at me. It's like, what'd you want me to say? Oh, it doesn't matter. Go to church. Go find it. I don't care if you go here. I do care. I think it's the best place. But this is a good church. And we're trying to grow in Jesus Christ. And we do everything here from 10, whatever time, 10:30 to 12, so that you know Jesus better. The second thing is this. Instead of thinking how much fun can I have this day, you need to be thinking about what good can I do to show the world the mercy and compassion of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus did. He went into the synagogue, he found somebody in need, and he healed them. What good can we do for my family? What good can I do this afternoon for my neighbor? What good can I do for my wife? What can I do that's good for somebody else that shows the mercy and compassion of Jesus Christ? What can I do? I think it's biblical. The last thing is this. And you see it all throughout the Bible. The Lord's Day is given to God's people. It's a confession that we serve the God of gods and the Lord of lords. It's a confession that we are committed to the one true living God. The Lord's Day, the Sabbath, was supposed to mark the Israelites out as different from the world. And I do think we live in a world today where we don't want to let people know that we're all that different from those non-Christians out there. And I'm not sure we're right on that. I think we should be looking for opportunities in this world to show people that we are different because of God's grace. We're not better, we're not special, we're not more important, but we are different because we worship the one true living God. And we need to find ways on the Lord's Day to show the world that we know the living God. And we are living or trying to live in accord with the way he created it. The Lord's Day is a gift to us so that we would know him better. I don't want anybody to walk out of here this morning without knowing that when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy burdened," that is a real call. Whether you're a Christian or not, Jesus is alive. He is at work. His Spirit is in this place. His Spirit, we are the temple of the living God, and he is present, and he is fighting for you, and he will never let you go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, would you remind us this day as we come to the Lord's table, as we think about this passage, would you remind us that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ is at work in our lives, in the lives of this church, in the lives of this community, in this world, that he's been raised from the dead, that he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he's at work. Father, strengthen our hearts that we would know that this is real. Strengthen our hearts that we would live for you. Even as we sang, we are not our own. We've been bought at a price. Help us to glorify your name this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.